Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Kimberly Atkins. Both the region and the Museum of Fine Arts are still reckoning with an incident that came to light last week. A group of students of color from Dorchester were profiled and harassed when they visited the museum. MFA has since revoked the membership of two patrons for making racist remarks. They've also said they will update protocols for security guards and introduce enhanced diversity and harassment trainings for staff and volunteers. Joining me now is MFA Director Matthew Teitelbaum. Teitelbaum came to the MFA from the Art Gallery of Ontario in Toronto, one of the most diverse cities in the world, where he successfully transformed that gallery into one that reflected the community. He's had the same mission in Boston. Hello.
Hi there.
Thanks for joining us today. First, I want to start with your reaction when you found out the story about what happened to these students of color from Dorchester at the MFA.
I had three responses. The first response was I was appalled. I was saddened. I thought, how could this happen? But the second response was, it did happen. As soon as the student said that was what they experienced, I believed them. I believe that they had a incident, more than one, at the museum that day that changed their experience and changed their sense of self and confirmed things about the MFA that frankly were very painful for us to acknowledge. So those were the two immediate ones. The third response was, I know that the MFA staff want to get it right. I know that the museum staff want to create this space as welcoming to all. And it just reminded me that we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do in language, behavior, the sense of invitation. Mm-hmm. I can talk a bit more about that. Welcome, engagement. So we have a lot more work to do.
Now, have you spoken to any of the students from Helen Y. Davis Leadership Academy in Dorchester or their parents about the incident?
Well, understandably, they're still processing both the results of our finding and also some of the statements we've made. Mm-hmm. I've had conversations with school leadership a couple times asking to come over. They're waiting for the moment when they feel it can be received in the best and most positive way. And we're actively talking about a potential get-together next week.
Okay. Last week on Radio Boston, we talked with Devin Morris, Director of Student and Family Engagement at Community Charter School of Cambridge. He's also the co-creator of the Teacher's Lounge, an event series for educators of color. He's not a part of the Davis Leadership Academy, but he said students and teachers of color he spoke with about the incident were not surprised this happened. Let's listen.
Unsurprisingly, students shared that this was not shocking to them when they heard the news. It is a shared experience that both educators of color and students have in many of the predominantly white institutions that we step into.
Now, according to the MFA, 81% of visitors at the museum over the last 5 years ending in 2018 were white. Do you think the MFA has a problem when it comes to being welcoming to people of color?
You know, when we did our strategic plan in 2017, we talked about invitation, welcome, and engagement. And I brought to the museum the sense that museums have to create energy and create focus around all three of those. They have to invite differently. They have to welcome into the space, and they have to engage in terms of content. And we have to do it differently and more consistently. To me, the numbers do say something. They do say that certain folks come to or think about the museum with a sense of invitation, welcome, and engagement, and other folks don't. So do we have more work to do to make this a museum for all of Boston? Absolutely, no doubt, and the numbers tell us that. But what also tells us that is that these kids from the Davis Academy, you know, had the experience that they had, that they were welcomed here, sort of. And their inability to engage was because their experience got off on the wrong foot, and then things were repeated in the course of their visit. It's unacceptable, and it's not the museum we believe we want to be. Well, we know that we don't want to be that space, and we have to create ways to boldly declare that this institution belongs to all of Boston. That has to do with a whole range of things, and the numbers are... they give you pause, because clearly we're not that institution.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you have done under your leadership. The MFA outlined a plan with 50 initiatives to become more welcoming to people from different backgrounds, things like late night films, parties, free memberships to new American citizens. How is that plan going? And do you think that this incident reflects at all on the effectiveness of that plan?
I think this incident tells us that our work is far from done. I mean, that's almost, it's almost too simple to say that we're in a process. But I do think the things that we have done, and they are many, to create this as a space where people do feel invited and where they have a sense of belonging, I think we've made some strides. I think the way in which we have involved many voices in the community to help us interpret and present our exhibitions in certain ways. I think the way that we have committed on a regular basis to city talks, which we do in partnership with community groups to actually bring the point of view from the community into the space around issues of our time. I think the ways in which we have created the most robust invitation to new American citizens in this country, and it's evidenced by the number where we have almost 2,600 individuals who are now part of that program, which is to say people are being told this is your place. And one way I like to think about it is that if a museum is in all senses a home, a place where you share things, a place where you express things, a place where you create memories that you come back to, then we have to find a way to make the Museum of Fine Arts a place that has the attributions of home. Now, that means we have to invite people, we have to welcome people, and we have to engage them in ways that they want to share with each other in this space. And I think many of our programs are doing that. You know, the late nights, which have been a continuous success, have, I think, encourage many people to feel this is a place where they can express themselves, where they can learn about art. I think the roundtables that we're doing, where we are reaching out into the community, our gender-bending exhibition that's on now was substantively enhanced in its importance and its meaning by the way in which leaders in the community engaged with us and helped us understand how the issues would affect them and how it would represent their lived experience. And I think that's one thing maybe I just want to stress about the experience with the students is we did not model a lived experience that we wanted them to have. We gave them experience that when they left, they felt diminished. And that is not our MFA.
And I want to talk a little bit more about that experience, because among the things that the students reported was that they felt as if they were being followed, that this wasn't just about those couple of patrons, but that the security made them feel that way. And you mentioned, as a follow-up to the incident, the MFA outlined a plan to implement new security procedures so no one would feel like they were being followed, and also to bring in outside experts and developed unconscious bias training and sexual harassment training for the staff. Now, your staff has had training in the past. What is different about this? And is there something that you learned from that perhaps didn't work with the initial training?
So it is true that we have committed to resource allocation and to time with our staff to, in a sense, train and understand contemporary issues in a deeper way. I think there's a renewed commitment to doing that, to build on the things you've already done. You've already mentioned unconscious bias. We are doing things around gender and race, and we can intend to continue to do those. But here's what I think we have to do and where I think we have to go further. I think that our training so far has helped us understand appropriate protocols in relation to generally accepted standards of the delivery of visitor service. But I don't think we've been as empathetic as we could be. And I'm interested in programs and opportunities for staff to engage with programs that allow us to understand perhaps more than we do, not just how to serve, the mechanics of serving, but actually to understand better than we do what the visitor experience is from the visitor point of view and what they bring to the institution. So my feeling about the students is they came not feeling fully invited. They came not feeling fully welcomed. And by the way, by the evidence, they weren't fully welcomed. Mm. So, you know, how do we create an institution that is deeply inviting and deeply welcoming and people will feel they belong here? It's because we're empathetic with their experience. We understand what they want to get out of the experience, what they want to share when they're here. You know, one of the incidents was somebody dancing in the galleries. You know, frankly, my MFA has dancing in the galleries. I think that's completely great. The fact that this young woman was meant to feel awkward about that and was confronted by a staff member who, not a staff member, sorry, a visitor who was less than charitable in her comments, alleged comments. I mean, that's, you know, you want to invite people into your home. You want dancing in your home. You want the experience of people being who they are. And so the training, I think, has to get to the level of understanding what is the experience that visitors bring and how can we create a visitor experience map that allows them to be who they are.
What about the diversity of the staff? Of the roughly 700 people who work at the MFA, only about 20% identify as non-white, and only 14% of those people are curators, educators, conservatives, and so on. How do you think that factors in?
I don't think that we will, in the end, be the inviting, welcoming, and engaging institution we want to be until our staff and our volunteers reflect that. And, you know, we're all, every institution seems to be talking about it. I would say that if you start with the assumption, as I do, and perhaps more resolutely today than I did even 2 weeks ago, that you have to start with a certain understanding of empathy, which is to say, see things from another point of view, then you redouble your efforts to create a truly diverse workforce. And that's something that I think is coming out of the last 10 days of reflection.
You know, I want to ask to what extent this reflects an issue of the community of the MFA running up against a principle of elitism, which has been sometimes embraced even in the museum world. I mean, the former head of the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, Philippe de Montebello, once famously defended elitism. He believed that elitism is, as he called it, the very essence of democracy, and that it seeks to bring as many people as possible to a higher level of understanding and appreciation. Do you see that tension taking place there at the MFA?
I would say, first of all, if you want Philippe to share his point of view, I'm sure that he would be articulate on that point. I believe that the museum belongs to everybody. I believe that the key is to find pathways to learning and to sharing in the museum space that are truly impactful. For that to happen, you have to create a place for the visitor's voice, the visitor's experience, and you have to create opportunities for sharing. So, for example, our late nights, which you mentioned very quickly, they're not simply parties. They are art-making activities and sharing of creativity in a way that our visitors can be with each other and experience something together, making art, talking about art, looking at art. And that notion of sharing is a way of creating belonging, and that, when it really happens, opens up the institution to everybody. So do I think there's an inherent conflict? There is an inherent conflict in the sense that art collections are formed often by elites and often formed in private, and then they become more public as collections grow, all of which I encourage and all of which I think is very, very positive. But the fact that they that the art collections are formed from some sort of elite commitment doesn't mean the visitor experience has to maintain that way. And I think the deepest sort of learning, the deepest and most memorable forms of education are those that are shared, which is to say that that there is expertise, but the voices of the visitor and the voices of those who care about art from different points of view are shared and brought to the surface in the museum space. I believe that deeply.
And in just the few seconds we have left, what is your message to people of color in Boston?
My message is many histories are at the museum. Many of those histories are ones that you can share and celebrate, that this is an institution that affirms who you are, and we are committed to making you feel in every interaction you have with us that this is your museum, that we not only serve you, but that this is your home.
That's Matthew Teitelbaum, the director of the MFA. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, author Adam Abramowitz's new crime novel gives us a nuanced look at a changing Boston. I'm Kimberly Atkins. This is Radio Boston.